The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Off to throw again. To the goal line. Touchdown, Jaden Reed! Four-man rush. Love throws towards the sideline. Diving in, it's Romeo Doubs with a touchdown!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Murray keeps. Murray going nowhere! Evan Williams stayed home, and he gets the tackle for loss. It almost looks like you're posting somebody up. Love looking deep on first down. He's got a man out there! Wide open, Watson! And 10. Murray open. It's Dortch at the 30, inside the 25. The ball pops out loose on the turf at the 22-yard line. Dortch was fighting for an extra yard. Instead, he gives it up. Jair Alexander comes up with the football, and the Cardinals turn it over again.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
On third and four, here comes the blitz. Gardeck providing the pressure. Love lofts it up. Romeo Doubs, the 20-yard touchdown.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
That is how you do it, folks. That is how you get a big victory at home. Packers win 34-13 over the Cardinals. Woof. Cardinals. Wow. I expected more from you, I'm afraid. But the Packers do get the victory, and they improve their record to 4-2. A very crowded, very top-heavy NFC North. We will get to that as the show goes on this morning. Gabe Neitzel out for the week. He is in Scotland doing the golf thing. Mark Chamora, we are efforting from Florida, who will be joining us as the show goes on. But I got Joshy DiMaggio here. And Joshy, I know you loved that win because it felt like the most complete win that this Packers team has been able to put together.
Yeah, it felt wire to wire that the Packers were in total control of that game. It was, as both Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love have said, complimentary football. The Packers keep turning teams over. And Jordan Love, to me, played his best game of the season. He does have an interception, but as we all saw happen there, that was clearly a slip, not his fault. It maintains the same feeling I've had, is if the Packers figure it out, put it together, they are amongst the best teams in the NFL and are a serious contender to win a Super Bowl.
Four touchdown passes for Jordan Love, two of those to Romeo Doubs. We will continue to talk about the Romeo Doubs situation and then how that manifested his performance on Sunday. Jaden Reed also found the end zone, as did Christian Watson. Good news for all of those folks out there who want to celebrate all the victories, who want to celebrate all the highs. No Johnny Raincloud here. No Gabe Neitzel. So we're not going to talk about, the pass rush, they all four and couldn't get pressure. They didn't need pressure. Joshy, that was the great thing, right? Like, I was afraid, honestly, that Kyler Murray was going to be able to hurt our team with his legs, with the run. And they were able to contain him pretty well. I know we played the Williams play in the open there. There was no better indicator for me than that play right there, when obviously they're trying to trick you behind the line of scrimmage. Williams stays home, reads it the whole way, takes down the quarterback. That to me was indicative of how this front line and how the defense as a whole handled Kyler Murray and company yesterday.
I don't want us to slip past that or just kind of move past that, because if you remember just a year ago, guys like Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, Anthony Richardson, they would just run all over the Packers because Joe Barry and his defense wouldn't have a plan for that specific thing. You saw it again, and it happened in those first two games that they played, where they did the sort of mush rush thing. You gave your initial burst. If you didn't get home, you just kind of stayed and watched where the quarterback was going. They also were planned for the designed runs, the one you mentioned with Evan Williams. they knew what way that ball was going to go, and they sent two guys off that edge on purpose because they know in those situations they like to run that read option and try and get Kyler Murray out on the edge. It feels to me like the first time in a long time where there is truly like a technician at defensive coordinator that is getting those guys ready for what's going to happen throughout the game. And I haven't felt that in a long time as a Packers fan.
Now, admittedly, as the game went on, and this is, you know, situational, I felt like I was watching a little bit of Joe Barry defense later on in the game. Why? Because the game sort of played out the way it did, where the Packers could afford kind of just sit back, keep everything in front of them. That was a huge issue people had with the defense under Joe Barry, because he did it all the damn time. Right? You pick your spots. And I thought that that was really, look, they could still do it. We know that they can do it. But obviously for them to do it in this later in the game, in the second half of that game, when the game warranted it, when the score dictated it, it was like, yes, this is how it was supposed to be. Play aggressive with vision early in the game. Get those turnovers. Xavier McKinney's streak does come to an end. Just a little disappointed about that one. Was hoping that he could go every week with an interception. But as a whole, the defense played really well. And if you're watching the offense, man, are they humming. Man, are they clicking, firing on all cylinders right now. I think that was the thing that I was most optimistic about, because Jordan Love has the injury early in the season. He's dealing with the knee injury. You're not sure how long it's going to take him to get back to full strength, where he is trusting that knee, where he is trusting all of his mechanics and not having to compensate for the knee. And yesterday, Josh, you tell me if I'm wrong, I thought he looked as close to 100% as we have seen him this year.
Yeah, we started to see peaks of it the past 2 weeks where it looked like, you know, there's something here. I mean, he was
little pops of it. Here it is. Oh, there it is. I think I saw it. A little speck.
He was not afraid to use his legs multiple times. He did slide. Thank you for that, Jordan. Thank you for continuing to practice good behavior there. And you didn't see the throws off the back foot that were kind of just lobbed out there, and like the uncertainty about how his body was going to handle it. Like, he stood in the pocket, and credit to the offensive line, there wasn't much pressure on him all game. But that was a guy who looked much like the guy we saw in the second half of last season, where he was confident, he was making throws, taking some risks, and not that risks are all bad, but really delivering the ball. There was that fourth down throw to Christian Watson. Big-time throw.
Yeah.
Touchdown pass to Jaden Reed, big-time throw. Put that where one person can get it. And that is the guy we all hoped we would see, who was confident in what he was watching and seeing out there, and then delivering the ball the way we know he can.
Now, we will talk about some of the things that the Packers can clean up, but overall, I want to be clear on this. There is elation. There is celebration here this morning on Jen Gabus Huey as we talk about the 34-13 win over the Cardinals. Penalties? Yes. Still have some pesky penalties that the Packers need to clean up. Obviously, we can talk about Narveson, who missed another field goal. And I know we talk about this all the time. The line "pray" that Matt LaFleur was quoted as saying to Tom Rinaldi in a Fox pregame, in a Fox production meeting, when Anders Carlson was out there. Are we hitting pray levels with Braden Narveson as well? Have we reached pray levels? Are we at rosary levels? Are we now thinking that this young kid, who again is young, is going to cost them a game down the stretch?
What's higher level? Like, I'm thinking like confessional. Do we need another baptism of sorts? Like, he is missing. Braden Narveson is missing field goals that nobody in the NFL is missing right now. It is levels of bad and incompetent that is hard to imagine in the world that we live in now with the NFL and their kickers. Those type of kicks that he's missing are automatic. The interesting thing, and Jason Wilde's brought it up to us a few times, is he seems to, whenever he misses, he's missing right. He missed right again in this game. And it was where he's placing his foot, da-da-da-da. It's still happening, clearly.
But they told us he cleaned it up. That was the narrative headed into these last few weeks, was they noticed a problem, they identified it, they changed it, and, oh, look, making field goals. And so now it's like, oh, well, are we back? I got a whole theory on this. I'll get to it as the show goes on, a whole theory about the Braden Narveson kicker in Green Bay situation. I got a whole thing I want to get to as we roll on in the show.
Jen, you said you've been doing some golfing with your husband, right?
He's
kind of been teaching you, taking you through the ropes. I imagine it's similar to with the kind of having the same issue pop up, is you can work on one thing for a long time and get it fixed. And then once something else pops up, you go back to your old habits. Because Like, I envision kicking much similar to your golf swing. There's a lot of moving parts. You got to make sure everything is correct. And, you know, a few seasons ago, we blamed everything on the process. And they weren't getting the snap right and the hold right and all that. And it was a high snap. So I imagine that had something to do with it. And I think he's just not like a battle-tested type of kicker. And the problem is of course he's not. He's a rookie.
Right.
He was available for a reason. There's a reason he was freely available because he had never kicked before. Nobody knew anything about him. I'm really afraid that that's going to end up costing them at some point this season.
Sam weighing in saying, what's higher than praying and rosaries? How about an exorcism? We need him out. Sam, congratulations. You got the joke. 800-990-3776. Your reaction to a huge Packers win yesterday, 34-13. And look, if you're talking about playoffs and you're looking at the NFC North and you're saying, the Vikings stand pat, obviously, they're 5-0, and every other team won this weekend. The Lions, holy moly, was that an ass-kicking. Absolute throttling of the Dallas Cowboys. It looked like they were having fun doing it, right? Like sometimes you're like, we are beating you by so many points, we feel a little bad. Didn't see any of that. Didn't see any of that from Dan Campbell and company as they absolutely dominated the Dallas Cowboys. And then the Bears getting the big win in London as well. Mina Kimes said, headed into the season, that she thought the NFC North was the best division in football. It's sort of starting to feel like that's shaking out that way. And I don't know if that's a good thing for the Packers or a bad thing for the Packers, but it sort of feels like we would like some of those teams to stub their toe as they continue rolling on. 800-990-3776. Dave from Aaron saying, I was embarrassed as a Packers fan when I see the stat pop up in the game yesterday that he has missed the most field goals this season. There are teams that kicked 5 or 6 field goals in one damn game. Yeah, there is frustration there. And if you want to sit there and harp on it yesterday in a victory, you can, right? It is the one glaring Achilles heel, Achilles foot, if you want. You can sit there and harp on it. I would rather focus today on all of the other things that the Packers did so damn well to win that game. 800-990-3776. So I want to get to this before we take our first break here this morning. We are continuing to effort Mark Chmura from Florida. He is down in his Florida home as they assess some of the damage sustained by the hurricane that went through there over the last few weeks. Are the Packers a legit Super Bowl contender? Because last week, after a victory, when Gabe Neitzel was still like, I don't know, this defense, I don't know, this pass rush, we got issues, we got problems, things that are going to bite us in the tail as the season rolls on, we were like, hush, they'll get it figured out. Did you see enough yesterday from the defense, maybe the pass rush in particular, to make you feel like they're starting to figure it out? Because, Joshy, to your point, mobile quarterbacks, quarterbacks that can run, quarterbacks that can hurt you with their feet, have been issues for the Green Bay Packers. They have struggled to contain them. They have struggled from keeping those quarterbacks from running all over them, for picking up first downs, for finding the end zone. And this is something that they did not do yesterday. Kyler Murray was in check. Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr. are still not clearly on the same page. We believe there is a learning curve there that happens with rookie wide receivers. It takes a little bit of time for them to adjust to the professional game. But Joshy, did you see enough from the Green Bay Packers yesterday in their dominance over the Cardinals to say, book it, Super Bowl team. If they don't stub their toe, if they don't beat themselves, this is a team that deserves to be atop the NFC.
I think at this point I've seen enough to think they are absolutely a Super Bowl contender. I was looking for two things. One was, is Jordan Love going to return to form and show the high-end play? I'm not expecting him to play like that for all 17 games of the season. Nobody in the NFL does that. The other thing was, is the defense going to be able to create turnovers? At this point, the defense is one short of their total all of last season through 6 games. I think those two things are the biggest factors for this Packers team as it exists, because there is so much talent out there that's only going to keep getting better, especially on that defensive end. We saw Evan Williams make a play. Edgerrin Cooper is all over the field. To me, this team as it stands right now, and not even factoring in for them getting better, are absolutely one of the best teams in all the NFL and are going to be probably one of the last 4, 5, 6 remaining when it comes to playoff time.
So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We are not sitting here saying if the playoffs started today, we understand that that's not how this stuff works. But it does feel good to be able to stack success and to be able to see incremental progress, whether it is Jordan Love and getting better and getting back to 100% from that knee injury, whether it is the receivers figuring out the timing, whether it is Romeo Doubs emerging from whatever the hell all went down over the last week or so where he wasn't at practice and then missed the game because he was being punished and then had everybody else talk to the media and then finally talked to the media, had a few good days of practice, as Matt LaFleur said. Whether it's all of those things, you are working your way toward where you want to go. And I think you need to celebrate those little successes as well as the big wins over teams like the Cardinals yesterday. We're going to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We're going to get Mark Chmura here on the show. We want to get his reaction to the win as well. Talk about Jordan Love. Talk about the defense. Talk about Nervous Narvison, which is the nickname he was given by one of the broadcast crews. And talk about the NFC North. And Joshy, we're going to talk about that 8-player parlay. Was it eight?
Eight-player
parlay that you put in this weekend. We'll talk about that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview, the way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney.
Ringo farted, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Tied for second in the NFL for touchdown passes in the league, despite missing those two games due to injury. And if you're wondering how Jordan Love stacks up against some of the other starts for Packers quarterbacks, his 12 touchdown passes in his first four games this season tie Aaron Rodgers in 2011 and Favre in 96 for second most by a Packers player in their first four games. Only Aaron Rodgers with 13 in 2020 tops that. We are thrilled now to have Mark Chmura joining the show. Good morning, Chewy. You are in Florida. I'm glad that we got all of the connections working. Your reaction to yesterday's 34-13 win over the Cardinals?
Complete win. Impressive. Do I need a little bit of cloud, though? Even though Johnny Clouds is in here?
Johnny Brain Cloud?
I mean, Arizona's a bad team. And this is what they should do to bad teams, not taking away from the victory one bit, but this is what they got to. If you're, you know, in Lambeau Field, you should be a bully, step on their throat, and it's exactly what they did. So it was a great win. Great win.
So
I was a little concerned, Jen, on Friday, and I think I asked Jason if they're looking past this game to Houston, because this is going to be an unbelievable game, I think. And yeah, there were no signs of it. I think they went in there, did work. There was a distraction, as we all know, earlier in the week with Dobbs, but that seemed to play itself out, and just a good win across the board.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. Obviously, Romeo Doubs suspended for the game previous week for skipping 2 days of practice and meetings, but he had 2 touchdowns. 4 targets, though. And I don't know, and I think, Josh, you can help me clarify this. I had heard that maybe they were trying to dispel the rumor or the fact, whether it is a fact or not, I'm not sure, that his targets had something to do with it. And then Bill Huber had to come out and say he stood by his reporting. Like, there was this whole thing where somebody was trying to discredit that information that was out there, that part of Romeo Doubs' discontent was tied to the number of targets he had been getting the first few weeks of the season.
That was Romeo himself when he had that press, when he spoke to the media on Friday. It was a winding, kind of strange interaction between him and the media. There were some contradictions within it, but it made it seem like he tried to make it seem that it wasn't his role that was the issue.
Yeah, because we tried to wonder if, you know, his targets were only a few off of the leader in targets for the Green Bay Packers. So that just didn't make a lot of sense. I was worried that they were going to try to force the ball to him, that Jordan was going to try to show him just how much he's a part of the offense, just how big a role he has on the team, and force it to him. But they didn't. They picked their spots, and they happened to be a few very good spots with Romeo finding the end zone twice. It feels like this offense is complete right now. I know you like to look at box scores and kind of see how it all shakes out. When you check out the box score of yesterday's game and you look at, you know, running plays and passing plays, did you feel like they called a pretty good one balance-wise?
No, they did. And the concern was, you know, maybe like you said, to force the ball to Dobbs. But if you look, there's 9 guys caught balls. That's a dangerous offense. The thing with Romeo, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, he even seemed very subdued after he showed a little more energy after the second touchdown, but after the first one, for a guy that's trying to get back in the good graces of the fans and the teammates and all that, I thought there'd be a little more excitement. Now, you know, listening to Jason, and I played with a handful of guys, they're just different guys, different dudes, you know. But with that, everyone has to understand their role on this team, you know. And you can't play for the stats and the money if you want to be successful here, because that's what happened. You know, what happened 2 weeks ago with him. I don't believe it from that standpoint that the play had nothing to do with it. It might not have been all of it, but it certainly played part of a role. But he's just got to understand, you got 5 receivers or you got 4 receivers. You know, it's not going to be you catching 110 balls and everyone else catching 60. At the end of the day, I think all their numbers are going to be fairly similar. Even Jaden Reed, who's I think their A player, I don't see any receiver running out and catching 40 more balls to the next guy in line. I think it's going to all be within 10 or 15. And he has to understand that's his role. So hopefully he has now. And we can move forward and put it in the rearview mirror.
Well, and you said a lot of things there that I want to react to, but the first is the roles on the team. You know, we talk about what will derail this Packers squad. Well, if you start getting infighting, if you start getting guys who are going, why did he get, I want, you know, like that is the type of stuff that can unravel a squad, that can derail Super Bowl championship aspirations. So I think that they were good to nip that in the bud. As for Jaden Reed, who has just been, so fantastic to watch. So glad he's on the green and gold. I'm a little bit nervous, guys, about having him back there for returns. Like, when he becomes your number one guy, which he is quickly becoming, whether or not they want to give him that distinction or not, Shu, I feel like maybe with the new dynamic kickoff and all that stuff, maybe there's less a chance of him getting hurt. But what does this offense look like, guys, if Jaden Reed gets popped on one of those returns and has to miss significant time? Like, to me, he has reached a valuable level in the passing offense that I don't necessarily want to risk him getting hurt in other areas on the field. Am I just being an overly cautious mom over here, Chu?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon is a hell of a returner. I don't know why they just... And he had a nice return yesterday. I don't know why they just don't leave him back there. Maybe situationally, if you're stale, you need a big play, then you put Reed in. But as an everyday returner, I'm with you. I don't like that. It's unnecessary.
I think
you have a guy who's really good.
I think the Packers are in a very unique situation where both those guys have the utmost confidence, and they're both going to try and return everything they seemingly possibly can. And the problem with Nixon now is his role on defense has actually grown more than people would have expected.
Yeah, definitely.
They've been lining him up as the outside corner so they can play both Bollard and Williams on the field together. So it becomes a point where both those guys have become extremely valuable to the Packers and doing what they want on both sides of the field. You would hope that Jaden Reed would be able to, like, I think in a situation where it's like, hey, just catch the ball and kind of fair catch, like, you know, don't take risks. Yeah. Because Nixon is your spark plug. He's your guy you throw back there and go, all right, show me what you got. But, I mean, I think the mistakes are becoming to a point where you just can't put Reed back there because this isn't his first dropped or, like, having issues back there. So I would imagine they're probably going to find other options there.
Chewy, the other thing we discussed in the first segment of the show was Narvison, the field goal kicker, who missed another field goal but then went back out there and made it. After the game, I think Matt LaFleur said that he made it seem like they're still confident in him because he was able to go back out there. I'm not sure if we have Matt LaFleur. I'm looking at our audio sheet right now.
We do.
Let me hear from Matt LaFleur on Narvison and then get Chewy's reaction to the miss.
Yeah, I think, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we did it later on, right? And he responded and he made his kick.
Whoa. just brimming with confidence there, Chew. Just don't hit me over the head with it. What do you think?
I don't know. I said it early on. I don't think they should have gotten rid of Joseph. I mean, veteran kicker, does he miss some? Yeah. But I would feel a hell of a lot better with trotting him out there if the game's on the line and making a kick than a rookie. But you know what? They dug their own hole here. I don't know what they do. I have no confidence in the guy. Hopefully he can figure it out, but the way this thing is trending, he's going to lose him a game. He's going to lose him a game because Arizona stinks. Indianapolis stinks. The Ram without their two receivers stinks. Now the stretch starts. Now it starts. Houston is good, and they have a really good defense, so points coming up this next week are going to be a premium. And 3 points or 1 point is going to make a difference. I don't know what you do. I don't think there's anyone out there on the street, is there, Josh? I mean, you could bring Carlson back, but you're going to have the same issues.
The other guy that they brought in was kicking for the other team yesterday, Chad Ryland. They had to replace Matt Prater. And so he was the option they were considering. I don't know if he's any better or worse, but
you think this is adding to his angst? And I'm talking Narveson by bringing so many kickers in during the week, because they know that. These kickers know who's coming in and out of the building for tryouts and things like that. Should they put that on hold for 2 weeks and just say, I don't know, maybe the kid's got too much pressure on him and he's looking over his shoulder, let's just let him kick?
It's a great question by you, Chu. I think it is a PCS. What's a PCS? I'll tell you. Right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We are enjoying a Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We will talk more about that right after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. Yeah, right back there?
That's so true.
There's a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
She got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Brought to you by Palermo's Pizza. That's Wisconsin's hometown pizza with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. We got Jen, we got Chewy, we got Joshy. No Gabe this week as he is in Scotland working on his golf game. But we are celebrating and reflecting on a Packers victory yesterday, 34-13, the most convincing win for the Packers this season. And Chewy, before we took the break, you were talking about the Narveson situation. Nervous Narveson, as one of the broadcasters referred to him, I believe it was last week or the week before. Another missed kick, another missed field goal, and I believe it was wide right, which seems to be the trend for Narveson, and I called it a PCS. What is a PCS? It is a perfectly crummy situation, because all of the details, all of the facts of this situation are conspiring to make it harder than it actually is. Do I think kicking field goals is hard? Yes, I do. Do I think that it is being made harder in Green Bay by the circumstances? I do. Hear me out. You got a rookie guy in there, right? A lot of times confidence comes from doing. You feel confident that you can do something because you have done something. But Narveson hasn't kicked successfully, consistently in the NFL. So it's hard to manufacture that confidence when he has to step out there. Also, take into consideration the history that Green Bay has had at kicker since Mason Crosby. Chu, you mentioned bringing guys in to try to find the right guy there, find the right fit. All of those things deteriorate the young player's confidence. Mm-hmm. So that when he goes out there, it is not just splitting the uprights. It is, if you don't split the uprights, you're going to get fired. And they're going to bring other guys in if you don't split the uprights. And if you don't split the uprights, then, you know, you're going to continue this narrative that Green Bay can't find a, you know, all of those things are like voices mm-hmm. inside this young kid's head. And I don't know if you can return from it. You have to be incredibly mentally strong to be able to shut out, box out, quiet all of that noise and go out there and execute. And I think that's what we're seeing from him is it's not just like mechanical errors. It's not just like your steps are wrong or a bad snap. I think it is he's in his head. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I went through it my third year where I pulled my hamstring in training camp. And I was making a push. It was me and Eddie West making a push to start that year. I wasn't active for the first game. Came back, and I remember it was against, I think, Miami and County Stadium. And I popped it again. But I popped it really, really bad and was going to be out for a handful of weeks. Well, they were starting to get frustrated with me, and they traded for Reggie Johnson, who was with the Broncos. Thank God he stunk. And they kept bringing in tight ends to work out, and I'm like, am I getting shown the door here? Fortunately, I came back, played pretty well, and that put it to rest. But that month was very stressful, extremely stressful. When you see guys, you know, a revolving door of tight ends coming in to replace you, so there is pressure. I wonder if, because they would never allow anyone on the field, because our grounds crew at Lambeau was so good. They were great. But they would never let anyone on the field. I would bring that kid on the field and say, you're practicing here. You ain't practicing at the Hudson Center. You are practicing where we play games, get the lay of the land, get some confidence, and go from there. I wonder if they would do that.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Doesn't it seem logical to do
that? Well, you're trying to eliminate all of the variables that would contribute mm-hmm. to you missing. And practicing where you will play, it feels yeah. like, would make you more familiar with that space. Right, Joshy?
Yeah, Mason talked about it a lot. The way the wind operates in Lambeau Field with the way they've closed it off, like it will be coming in from one direction and then changing the stadium and be going a different one. So he said basically like it's very unique to kick in Lambeau Field because the way the wind patterns are unconventional. Like if you look at each end zone, the flags might be pointing different directions.
Yeah. But with this kid, Joshy, I'm going insane. Don't give two craps about... Kick the thing down yes. the middle, and I'll look at the thing and say, okay, it was the wind. We'll deal with the wind later.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll deal with the wind later.
At this point, you have to try everything with him. You clearly have staked your season on him being the kicker.
Yeah.
So all options are on the table.
Have they, though? Because you mentioned Chad Ryland when we were talking about this in an earlier segment. He went 2-for-2 yesterday. His long was 40 for the Arizona Cardinals, but he is just a Band-Aid right now as they will get their regular guy back. So he will be back out on the street. Packers had him in for a workout. You got to wonder if they watched that and said, in a tough situation, the Cardinals needed points like crazy. Guy was able to make his kicks. Maybe he showed him something in that game, and you can bring him in again and make him a legitimate competitor for Narveson. Now, that's not going to help Narveson's confidence. That's not going to help him get better at it. But you are talking about right now, Chu, the most competitive division in all of the NFL. Mm-hmm. The NFC North has all of these top teams. I pulled up the NFC standings. You got the Vikings at number one. You got the Lions at number five. You got the Green Bay Packers at number seven. And right behind them are the Chicago Bears at number eight. That's in the NFC picture.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot afford to have a liability at the kicker position as you head into these tough games. We talked about having the Texans next. You mentioned that, Chu. And playing all of these division games. Because right now the Vikings are in the catbird seat, right? You have to beat the Vikings the next time you face them. God forbid, the kicker is the reason why you don't get that victory. God forbid. Because then it will look like you had all of that information, Chu. To quote Jen
yeah.
on a show earlier, I guess it was last week, what did you expect? You had all the yeah. information. You knew how this was going to go, and you stood pat. You didn't change anything.
Let me float this out there, because it'll be a shame, because they're a Super Bowl caliber team, and it'd be a shame if the kicking game derailed them from that. What if you called a crap whose season's over with? Carolina, Arizona, Tennessee. Would you offer them a fourth round pick for their kicker? you know, these teams that have to compile draft picks because their roster stinks and they got to build. Would you give a fourth round for the kicker in Carolina?
First of all, I love this idea because this is straight up fantasy football league stuff, right? Like, I have a chance to win. Your team is out of it. Give me your quarterback who isn't going to be able to do a lick of good sitting on your bench or lick of good sitting on your roster, and let me take him. Now, in fantasy football, they call that conspiring, don't they, Joshy? There's a conspiring that is happening between two owners in that situation?
Yes, but this seems fair. There's no, hey, we can get an asset for a kicker.
Hey, you stink. Give me your kicker. Is there a kicker out there that you got your eye on?
No, but there's got to be the Raiders. I know nothing. I know their season's over with. I'm just looking at teams who are done after week six. Again, I mean, I'm taking a fourth round pick for my good kicker because we stink. You know, fourth round pick is a pretty valuable pick.
You give him nervous in two? Just throw
Hell
it in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Because to be perfectly honest with you, as I mentioned, it's a PCS. It's a perfectly crummy situation. If Narvison goes somewhere else, Chu, where there is no pressure because the team stinks around him and he can work on his craft and he can build up his confidence by making kicks and making kicks and making kicks with less pressure around him, he could turn out to be a really good dude. He could turn out to be an asset for a team long term. But right now, with what the Packers have riding on this season, it does feel like a liability.
We don't have time. I'm sorry. We don't have time because let's just say they lose this week and Minnesota, they're three behind. They're actually four behind because Minnesota already beat them. Correct, Josh?
Sorry, I was typing out a tweet. What was the question?
I'm saying you don't have time to lose. They lose this week and Minnesota wins. You're four behind Minnesota because right now I know they play him again, but they would lose the tiebreaker if they had the exact same
I believe you're correct.
So we don't have time. We don't have Jen, he could turn out to be an all-pro kicker. Great. We don't have time. We don't have time.
But again, that goes back to
not with
being
a team like this.
A product of the circumstances. And that's why I said it's a perfectly crappy situation because Packers are a really good team. They don't have time for a reclamation project. They don't have time for that learning curve that Narvison seems to be on right now. And again, you can point to different things in different games. You guys mentioned the wind. Yesterday it rained all day, right? The field was wet. We saw some guys slipping. Obviously, we talked about the interception for Jordan Love. That was obviously a slip. But the problem with that as a reason for an explanation for Narvison's issue was that Ryland was perfect. Ryland on the other side, same conditions, same field. And he has been almost perfect on the season in the time he has been filling in the time he has been working for Arizona Chew. And that's why I think like they could look at that and go, ugh. We picked the wrong guy.
But I don't think they want to play that game. I don't think they want to play that game because when their kicker's back, they're going to release him. You want to pick him up and, well, here we go again. Who the hell knows? You know? You know where there's a lot of pressure? A 45-yarder to win the game. You feel confident in this guy making a 45-yarder on the road, hostile environment? To make the kick?
No, not right now. And I will tell you, yesterday was as good as it's going to get. Packers dominated that game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so a miss technically doesn't hurt you because you're in control. So the pressure is lessened. There should have been less pressure. Now, again, do we talk about the noise? Do we talk about the narrative? Do we talk about all of the things that are swirling around Narvison? Yes. But eliminate that. Eliminate, oh, God, I got to make this kick because we're reeling right now and we need to seize some momentum and we need to start getting things going our way. There was none of that. Packers were in control. So, yes,
And then, Jen, look 2 months down the road. You think it's going to be easier to kick in Lambeau when that you're kicking a rock? No, it gets tougher. So, I mean, I think they should be proactive. You know what? I'm not floating that out there. I'm saying they should do that. Give up a fourth-round pick gather up all your crappy teams and take the best one and say, here's a fourth-rounder. You're going to need it in April. You're going to wish you did this deal in April.
I imagine, Joshy, that is something that you are drafting for the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account as we speak.
Already out there.
What do we got?
Would you give up a fourth-round pick for one of the bad team's kickers? And I listed Panthers, Titans.
Patriots.
Uh-huh.
Browns. Yes, great
How
idea.
How low would you go?
No, not draft picks.
How low would you go?
You mean...
Third?
At third, I'm probably. I want.
I guess
probably,
you're saying how high, right? Like I say, you're saying low. Yeah.
The number's
number is
going lower. Yes.
But on the draft board, it's higher.
Classic
so
conundrum
how
here for
high
L2.
Would you? Yeah, yeah. One click above dumb. We know.
If you could, and I saw somebody post this. I don't know who it was, and I wish I could credit them. But a second round pick for like a good kicker, I'd think about it.
Totally worth it, right?
Like a good young kicker who is reliable, like one, like the Cowboys. Where are they going? I don't see Jerry Jones parting ways with his kicker by any means, but like one of those top flight kickers who's like a decade? Yeah, why not?
How much are we missing Mason Crosby right now?
A lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
Very.
Yeah.
Well, Mason Crosby from 8 years ago versus three.
Wait, is Mason Crosby from 3 years ago better than the rookie kicker they got?
I would probably take him.
Yes, more consistent. Didn't have enough leg. He couldn't really make it into the end zone on kickoffs, but he made his field goals. That he did.
800-990-3776. Chewy is suggesting trading a fourth-round pick for one of the kickers on a bad team. The Titans, the Patriots, the Browns, and the Panthers come to mind. We roll on a Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
A standout performance.
Love to the end zone. Watson spins his way for the touchdown.
A player who energized the team.
He goes to the air. It's intercepted. Jair Alexander high-stepping for six.
It's time for the current electric superhero MVP of the game on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He's put it in the air this time.
Whether it's as small as a switch repair or as big as a whole home rewiring or even a generator to keep your lights on, call the superheroes from Current Electric. Go to callcurrent.com.
A third and four, here comes the blitz. Garnett providing the pressure. Love lofts it up. Oh, what an adjustment! Romeo Dobbs! The 20-yard touchdown!
Yeah, Romeo Dobbs is the big player this weekend. Four targets, three receptions, two of those touchdowns, and most importantly, hopefully, turning the page on some of the drama and the situation that he and the team were dealing with headed into this week. Speaking of drama, Joshy, eight-player parlay, huh?
Yeah.
Eight-player parlay this weekend. Now, Chewy, that means that Joshy bet on eight players on one ticket to score touchdowns this weekend. And Joshy, how did it go?
I lost. And I lost in devastating fashion.
Tell us.
One player?
It was eight players to score touchdowns. So some of them were plus odds, some of them were negative odds. The bet was $5 to win $1,354. I successfully hit J.K. Dobbins, Bucky Irving, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Tank Dell, David Montgomery, and Tyrone Tracy. Now, there's some big names in there, but the names like Tyrone Tracy and Tank Dell and Bucky Irving, those aren't guarantees.
Right. And then?
Late afternoon game slate. George Pickens was my other pick.
Seems like a likely touchdown scorer.
Yes, he caught a deep pass. It was about 30 yards through the air. Caught it at the 1 yard line. So I was like, hey, usually we see teams do this a lot. You get us down here, you get the points. They run a play, pass play to him, Justin Fields, as we know, not the most accurate quarterback.
Ooh.
He throws him. They design a play specifically for George Pickens. He gets the pass and drops it.
You said it was late in the game, so like you're running out of time for him to find the end zone again or you know, for the first time.
And there was a lot of points scored by the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one, and he was targeted a couple times when it was getting in that red zone area. There was a defender there. The throw could have been better, but if you're a guy of George Pickens' level and acclaim, that's a catch that, you know, has to be made. The thing is, it wasn't that important for the game, but to know they were going to your guy to get there, the ball touched his hands and then fell to the ground. I let out a scream. that was the dog came running from across the house and started jumping.
And listen, I would ask you to recreate it, but I'm guessing it's one of those sounds that can only be made under those circumstances.
I don't know if I've ever made a sound similar to that, because I don't know if I've ever had an 8-leg parlay that was going to pay out $1,354. It just cost me $5.
This is, though, is the Shart and Farter show, so I'm going to laugh.
Believe me, I was then rooting against, because Tyrone Tracy was in the late game, obviously. He scored a rushing touchdown for the... I was rooting against him, and I have him on fantasy teams and started him, because I didn't want to be in a place where that drop touchdown would have cost me $1,354.
But instead, you did win something, right? It wasn't all for naught. You bet $5, and you did win...
28.
Womp, womp, womp.
Because this,
that makes it even worse.
It is nice to at least have something, because nothing's worse than like doing a perfect bet and having... But believe me, I would... If it was $100, but 28, when I saw that hit the account, it was like, whoop-dee-doo.
Oh, jeez. I'm so sorry, bud. You think you'll keep doing these, like, multiple player parlays? You like these touchdown parlays?
I've been trying to hem and haw on this. Is this my message to get out? Stop doing it. It's too heartbreaking. Or are they telling me, you're seeing the board clearly, you're onto something here, one of these is bound to hit?
This is the classic gambler's peril.
This is the gambler's dilemma.
So, did you pick the players, Josh?
Yes, I handpicked all of them. I went through all the games and handpicked guys in situations I thought were primed to score a touchdown. Now, for the past few weeks, I've done something similar. I've tried different methods, different amounts. This one was obviously the closest. I don't know if anyone really in the NFL was closer. And the problem is, and this is with everything of these, there was probably three other guys I liked, because I had another one that included different players. And of course, those other players also hit. It was just this combination of the players I liked, because I liked about 12 of them. The 8 I put together in this one just weren't the right 8. There was about 4 other players throughout the day who also all scored touchdowns, because I missed another one. I don't know if you saw the follow-up tweet to that one. I did 7 players to score a touchdown, and Caleb Williams over 4.5 rush attempts. All 6 of the players scored touchdowns. Caleb Williams rushed 4 times.
Oh, God.
Do you have a problem?
These are $5 bets, so it's okay. It's like a beer. That's what I'm betting on here. So it's not like I'm consuming hundreds of dollars here. It's $5 long shots, and I know that going into it, that's what they are. But it's fun to have interest in all the games.
Yeah, for whatever it's worth, this weekend the only team that let me down was Maryland, who absolutely got throttled by Northwestern. Who saw that one coming? But I did have Maryland as my pick in that game. Chewy, we had a lot of reaction rolling in before we head to break here at the top of the hour. But Ryan from McGuanago wants to know if you have any idea who the Raiders kicker is.
Sebastian Janikowski.
At one time it was, yes.
He retired?
Yeah, he's not kicking anymore. It is Daniel Carlson. You familiar with the Carlson name?
Oh, yes. But he's good, though, right?
Yes. He was famously with the Vikings, and they let him go because he missed a lot of bad kicks and cost them games. Then he went to Las Vegas, which was then Oakland at the time, and was reclaimed by Rich Bisaccia. And he has become one of the most consistent kickers in the NFL.
There it is.
So, fourth round pick. Would you give him up a fourth round pick?
For Anders brother?
I think I would.
Yeah.
Got some crazy sort of love triangle thing happening here that I'm not sure I want to get into. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on for the second hour of the show right after this.